There's no denying that gold is hot right now, and so is inflation. Prices are soaring, and experts are predicting there's more to come. Not so long ago, gold reached its all-time high of $2,069 an ounce, and now it's inching ever closer to that number once again. Bank of America, one of the largest banks in the world, is saying gold will rise further still to over $2,200 an ounce this year. Gold is already a safety net for your hard-earned money, and now when the stock market is all over the place and the value of the dollar is very uncertain, being safe really counts like never before. Now, there's always a risk of investment, and there's no guarantee of any kind, so do your own due diligence. Noble Gold is offering a 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin for any qualified IRA or old 401k rollover. Terms apply. A solid silver U.S. Mint issued coin celebrating our national parks. Free with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Give them a call at 877-646-5347. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Plymouth Rock in 1620 is where the Pilgrims landed, and it was right on the coast and right on the waterline. And it shows another picture of Plymouth Rock today being right on the waterline. So there hasn't not been a significant increase in the ocean levels. So it makes you wonder about the data that these people are throwing out there, and an awful lot of it has to do with fear. Creating fear so that people vote for these crazy policies.
Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. Guys, I'm delighted to share this showcase interview with you about a small cap opportunity in the energy sector. I have on the line James Hill. He's the president, CEO, and director of MCF Energy Limited. And I'm delighted to have this conversation, guys, because as you know, the powers that ought not be are very, very hostile these days towards fossil fuels. But we're starting to see a shift because even those who are hostile to our energy needs realize that wind and solar just don't cut it. James Hill joins us right now. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great too. Thanks for being here. And I just want to share with the audience real briefly that the mind behind MCF Energy Limited is the one and only Ford Nicholson, founder of Nations Energy and really a $4 billion energy legend. So I know you're excited to join the company because of that reason, correct?
Well, he and the others that are backing the company are the reason why I joined the company. I was happily retired for a few years before Ford called.
Well, you're no longer retired, but I do understand that despite what's going on in Europe where the company's focused, you reside in California. And what I think is entertaining about that is Gavin Newsom and California are just as hostile to our fossil fuel and energy needs as anybody in Europe, isn't he?
That's true. He definitely is. And although I used to explore and produce in California exclusively, I don't anymore. I am now focused totally on Europe and the opportunities that I see there.
Well, before we bridge over to Europe, I do want to ask you about the domestic energy crisis. And I'll call it a crisis because if you look at the strategic petroleum reserves, Biden just continues to drain those to try to, shore up the gas prices here so that the gas prices don't get too high. We're seeing a little bit of relief, but meanwhile, that petroleum energy reserve has been pretty much drained down to zero. What do you make of people like Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden and these types of, I think they're anti-American policies. I think they're anti-human policies because without energy, we die. And as I said at the beginning of the interview, wind and solar don't cut it. So what do you make of these type of policies?
Well, basically, of course, the policies are following the woke agenda of, a totally carbon-free environment.
Right.
And, although MCF supports the transition to, greener, renewable energies, we also recognize that this process is going to take decades to actually make happen. Unless, of course, we all want to move back into a cave right away or, strictly start burning wood to heat our homes and cook our food. Basically, they're just Gavin Newsom and, of course, the Biden administration in general. Are following these policies in an attempt to force the rest of us into cutting back our lifestyles and paying a lot more for the day-to-day commodities that we use every day. When they drive up the price of fuel by restricting its availability, you know, that food or that fuel is what transports our food, is what transports all the goods that we use, so that everything that we use goes up in price. It's called inflation. You know, that along with printing, you know, all the money in the world to cover their wild spending programs, you know, it only is a real hidden tax against us, because it devalues the money that we have in our savings accounts. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they are taking away our buying power and taxing us in a and not very obvious way to a lot of people, but it's obvious to me that as the value of the dollar decreases, you know, they are printing more of them, so that the value of our money goes down, and it's gone down significantly. Here in California, an 1,800 square foot house in my area will cost you almost $1 million. You know, in the past, you could pick it up for $200,000. Well, that just means that the value of our dollar is decreased by a factor of five, for God's sakes. Right. You know, how can people afford to do this? And to be obvious with you, they really can't. They really can't. And these are the policies that are currently being pushed out upon our people.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's so puzzling about it, and I know why they're doing it, and so do you, it's this Renewable Energy Directive. It's really United Nations Agenda 2030. And in a minute, I'll play that clip, the famous clip from Bill Gates when he gave that TED talk about innovating to zero by 2050. It's pure lunacy. And by the way, Bill Gates, how much is that guy worth? He probably has a net worth north of $100 billion, but he seems to have his tentacles in just about everything: our food supply, farming, vaccines. This guy is all over everything, and he wants us to innovate to zero by 2050. So no wonder Joe Biden, upon becoming president, the first thing he did, sir, was close down, shutter the Keystone XL pipeline. That must have sent shockwaves through the industry, didn't it?
Well, the shockwaves were really felt when the energy crisis hit, and that a couple of hundred thousand barrels a day, which the Keystone pipeline would have offset to what we were losing during the war with Russia and that sort of thing, wasn't available to us. I can't say it's a war with Russia. It's a proxy war, really, with Ukraine. But of course, the energy supplies were severely restricted. And, you know, we paid for it at the pump. I mean, we really did. Plus his policies in restricting development and leasing in federal lands and that sort of thing is really hurt the industry.
That's right. He did that the first week in office as well. He restricted oil and gas leases and exploration on federal lands. I mean, it's all anti-American in my view. And guys, in a minute, we're going to bridge over to the opportunity in Europe, where MCF Energy Limited is delivering large-scale natural gas exploration to help secure Europe's energy security. And you guys can find the stock on the TSXV as MCF. It's on the over-the-counter pinks in the States as MCFNF. And what I want to ask you in just one second, well, I'll ask you now, then we'll play the clip from Bill Gates.
Sure.
Is the hostility against fossil fuels in Europe starting to abate a little bit? We have the Nord Stream pipeline being blown up, seems to be a bit of a problem. And now Germany is shuttering all its nuclear plants. So I see the Germans is still being hostile. What are you seeing in the greater EU? Are they starting to abate their hostility against fossil fuels a little bit? Because the choice is, use natural gas and coal to help supplement your energy needs, or your people are going to freeze to death in the winter and starve otherwise.
You know, that's something that has been obvious. When I explored Europe 10 years ago, it was very, very hard to get things done. We drilled six wells in Poland, and it was a real, real task to get those wells drilled and down. Now, one of our partner companies in Austria that we're partnering with to drill a well, ADX, got a well permitted and drilled in 6 months, which is practically unheard of in the European community. In Germany, we purchased Genexco, which is a private German company, and we have four current concessions active. And we're getting a lot of cooperation from the ministries and whatnot to develop and to actually move ahead with our program to drill these exploration assets and bring them online. The only things that's been a little different is that the local the local governments are really adamant that they want the energy to stay within their provinces and not have us just feed it into the national grid. So it's a real change. It really, really is. The Green parties are still out there. We still interface with them. But really, it's engagement with the local communities that changes things. You've got to engage with the locals and answer their questions. I mean, the Greens have put out all of these horrible things. You know, your kids are going to die. Your animals are going to die. Your lawns are going to die. And really, you have to address those fears. And we do that with interaction with the local communities. We have meetings with them. If you can answer their questions and mitigate their fears, then they're actually on your side, because we bring jobs. And more importantly, we bring wealth. One of the things I love about doing my job is that I go to an area where there is very little wealth and create wealth. And this actually gives me a lot of pride, you know, in helping local communities and helping the countries, really.
Yeah, no, I can imagine it does, because as I said earlier in the interview, energy is life. Without energy, we all die, right? I mean, look, what's happening in the EU, and you said it right previously, it is the proxy war with Russia over Ukraine that has led to EU's troubles, right? Because the EU is scrambling to meet their energy needs because they banned, the EU and the UK banned imports of Russian fuel. All because of this war over Ukraine. It's just absurd. So let's talk a little bit about the fear-mongering, and then we'll get back to the brass tacks of what's going on over there in Europe with natural gas. Here's the TED Talk, the famous TED Talk with Bill Gates, talking about innovating to zero. I want to play this clip and get your thoughts on it, because I don't think anybody really realized when he gave this speech back around, I think it was 2015 or 16, might have been previous to that even. Nobody realized what he was talking about here. Nobody really fully understood the ramifications of innovating to zero, doing away with fossil fuels without any viable replacements. I think part of the answer to the riddle is right within what he says here. Listen to this.
I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy.
Here it comes,
so let's
Mr. Hill.
Each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now, that's back from high school algebra, but let's take a look.
All right, we'll pause it there. The audience laughs, as Gates says, and they cut back to the wide shot showing people. He says one of these numbers, one of these things is going to have to get pretty close to zero. And in my view, that would be people, given his depopulation plan efforts. Right? So what do you make
get
of
back
that?
On the number of people, you'll use as much energy.
Yeah, it'll solve the problem, right? Just get rid of the people. The people are the problem. That is the playbook from the Club of Rome. Literally, paint the picture that people are the problem. The answer is to get rid of the people. What do you make of this? The CO2 being the enemy. And then you have congressional hearings in which Kennedy is grilling these folks that are saying, well, you know, this new Green Deal to switch over to, you know, zero emissions, it's going to cost, well, we don't know. Kennedy pressures them. What is it going to cost? Well, $50 trillion. It's all insane. And we're to believe CO2 is the enemy, Mr. Hill.
That's a conservative number, 50 trillion. In Europe, they've spent over €1 trillion and decreased the dependence on fossil fuels by 1%, according to Goldman Sachs. The replacements that they're currently putting out there, wind and solar, just won't do the job. I mean, it just won't do the job. Not only that, but, our population continues to increase. You know, I agree with Bill Gates. If you stop the population growth and cut it in half, you know, kind of, you know, even odd, you get shot, you stay alive. Yes, you're going to cut the energy demand and you're going to cut the CO2. One of the things he doesn't put into his equation, which I find is absolutely ludicrous, is the natural environment contributions to CO2 and methane.
Right.
You know, the amount of termites in the world generate huge amounts of methane, of course, which is a greenhouse gas and is actually a lot more of a greenhouse gas than CO2. You know, the environment puts out a lot of these, quote, pollutants. And, you know, that doesn't fit at all in his equation. And from the numbers I've seen, humans have contributed about 30% of the CO2 currently going into the environment. So what are you going to do about the other, you know, 60 or 70% that's out there? There isn't anything you can do unless you sterilize the planet. And of course, that's not going to be a good thing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Europe's situation. By the way, I'll do a screen share here so people just understand that, again, Germany continues to be very, very hostile to anything that's not wind and solar. At their people's own peril, Germany has shut down its last three nuke plants, and some climate scientists are aghast. So how are they going to replace this energy source, and what is the environment like right now in Europe? Why don't you present for the audience what the opportunities are right now as you see them?
Well, you're correct that Germany just shut down their last nuclear power plant, and also they have reactivated quite a few of their coal-fired power plants. I was in Gdansk, Poland yesterday, which of course is one of the major ports, and I was absolutely astounded at the amount of coal, piles and piles of coal that were being shipped in to fire these coal-fired power plants. So they're celebrating the fact that they have a zero emissions, you know, totally clean source of power, and they are ignoring the fact that they're replacing it with the dirtiest fuel you can imagine. I mean, coal has a huge carbon cross-section to it, whereas natural gas has a very small carbon footprint in comparison. The U.S. reduced their CO2 emissions by a very, very large amount. In fact, even below the original Kyoto Treaty numbers that Al Gore had thrown out, by just switching from burning coal to natural gas. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to produce more natural gas so that we can take some of these coal-fired power plants. I don't think we're going to be lucky enough to replace them all. But the idea is that the more you can convert over from burning coal to burning natural gas, you're going to significantly reduce your carbon output. Another thing about the graph that was shown, it went back to 1900. The Earth has been on a significant warming trend for the past 10,000 years. I mean, you know, 5,000 years ago, New York State was under a mile of ice. And, you know, that ice has retreated, you know, all the way back up to Greenland in that area. So, you know, this is a continuing process in the warming of the planet. And, you know, it's not related to the CO2 emissions by human beings. I'm not saying that there isn't an impact to CO2 being released by human beings, but I don't think it's nearly has the effect that the local Green Party would like you to believe.
Well, and that's just it, too. And then you've got Greta out there telling everybody to don't touch the stuff, you know, because you're robbing her of her childhood. And it's all propped up nonsense. It's propaganda. And look no further than the IPCC, how they fudged the data. They always fudged the data about climate change, as did Al Gore with that famous movie and his little hockey stick chart. I think, according to Al Gore, shouldn't parts of Florida and most of Manhattan be underwater by now, Mr. Hill?
Well, there was a great post the other day, I believe it was on Facebook or something, showing Plymouth Rock in 1620 is where the Pilgrims landed, and it was right on the coast and right on the waterline. And you know, it shows another picture of Plymouth Rock today being right on the waterline. So there hasn't not been a significant increase in the ocean levels, at least in Plymouth. So it makes you wonder about the data that these people are throwing out there. And an awful lot of it has to do with fear, you know, creating fear so that people vote for these crazy policies.
Yeah. The other thing I'm amused by is the folks that run out and get these Teslas and these electric cars. I have a neighbor who just got a Tesla. She's very proud of it. It's a nice red one. I got nothing against electric cars. But if you're intellectually honest and you do the research about what those batteries are comprised of and how those rare earth minerals are mined, including child labor, it's pretty horrifying.
This is a cobalt mine in the Congo.
Holy shit.
Like, you can hear the hammers clinking. They're extracting cobalt and inhaling poison dust. It's poisoned their environment, poisoned the rivers, poisoned all the land. There's no education, there's no hope. And everything is being guarded by commandos who are trying to make sure that the public doesn't ever find this out. Because at the end of this is the most progressive companies, like right. Apple.
And there are not enough of those rare earth minerals in the world to provide everybody to have an electric vehicle. It's impossible. Add to that the fact that these electric charging stations, here's a dirty secret most of these social justice warriors don't know. Many of these charging stations are on the grid and powered by coal and natural gas. They're not fully electric. So the whole thing's a sham, isn't it?
Well, yeah. In fact, some of them are powered by diesel generators, which are even worse. It's really crazy. It's not just the rare earth elements. For instance, the amount of copper that goes into an electric vehicle versus a standard gas powered vehicle is like 4 or 5 times more copper. Well, the idea is that where are you going to find all this additional copper? It's not just the rare earth elements. It has a very broad ranging impact on a number of different minerals, strategic minerals that we currently need and use. Now, getting back to Europe, Europe has been dependent on energy supplies from Russia for decades. They've basically been drunk on Russian gas, and they've kept the price of gas supplied to Europe at such a level that it really suppressed the search for resources within Europe's borders. Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that in funding a lot of the Green Party's initiatives and whatnot, and this is pretty obvious that Gazprom has done this in a number of places, they've restricted energy development in Europe. They really have. And this is an opportunity which now that we can actually get out and drill wells and explore for things has really been an opportunity for MCF, because there were a lot of very good projects out there that just couldn't get funded. They were not able to be done. These things should have been drilled decades ago. I mean, really a long time ago. And luckily, we've been able to move very, very quickly because of our background, not just in Europe, but in the world, to find these projects and move on them quickly. So like I said, we've got 4 concessions currently active. We're going to be drilling 2 wells this year, and we've got at least 4 or 5 more concession applications very active at the moment to basically start to develop these opportunities that have just gone ignored for decades.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Just a quick word about our sponsor. Did you know Bank of America is saying gold will go to $2,200 this year? An all-time high. Invest in a gold IRA with Noble Gold Investments today and take advantage of this rare opportunity to secure your retirement savings. Now remember, there's always a risk of investment and no guarantee of any kind, so do your own due diligence. But I myself own gold. With the experts at Noble Gold Investments, you can ride the wave of gold's historic rise to financial security amidst all the inflation. This month, they're offering a solid silver 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Hurry and go to noblegoldinvestments.com to secure your wealth and bag a free 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin if you qualify. NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Which leads me to the question regarding natural gas prices, which are really near 25-year lows. And if you look at previous times those levels were hit price-wise, the price usually at least doubles thereafter. Do you think that the price of natural gas right now kind of puts you guys in the sweet spot? Because there's kind of nowhere to go but up, especially since Europe needs energy so desperately.
Well, you know, the Europeans have been really lucky this year with a warm winter, and their energy conservation measures have been effective as far as the amount of natural gas they've had to cut back on. Russia, sent about 60 billion cubic meters of natural gas to the European Union in 2022. And they still do contribute some in. And of course, these energy inflows could halt completely as the war continues in Ukraine. You know, really much of Europe's energy shortages were covered by diverting the LNG cargoes from the US and Qatar, which normally went to Asia. For instance, China, because of their COVID shutdowns, really, really restricted the amount of energy that was being used in their society. Well, now that China is starting to come out of their COVID lockdowns, these energy supplies that were diverted to Europe are going to be, basically the competition for those is going to go up radically, which of course, you know, competition means price increases. You know, it's a commodity. If you don't have enough of it, the price is going to go up. That's pretty much the way it works. But it's like I said, the price drop was really based on the idea that you had a warmer winter and the supplies of LNG were sufficient to keep their energy storage levels up. But if we have a change in climate and the winters get colder, which is, you know, quite possible, there's going to be a real problem in the European Union.
Yeah, they really did luck out with a warmer winter. I really expected people to be freezing to death because energy prices were just skyrocketing. People's heating bills were doubling, tripling, sometimes going up more than that. And it's not sustainable. And it's also, like I said, anti-human. It's all part of the United Nations Agenda 2030 to bring the Western world's quality of living standard down to that of the third world. Thereby, we're all equal. As Klaus Schwab has famously said, you'll own nothing and be happy. We'll all be equally poor. Under their model. But I'm glad to hear that Europe is really starting to reject that and becoming more open, regulatorily speaking, to natural gas and exploration. So is that exactly what you're finding right now? And what is the competition? What is the result of that? Is there a lot more competition in the space too to find natural gas?
We're starting to see a little bit more competition, but a lot of it right now is focused in on buying production. You know, you can currently buy producing assets of natural gas, and this is what a lot of companies do, but that kind of fixes your valuation, you know, to 1 to 2 times your cash flow, which is not a good place for any company to be in, really, because you're depleting your resources, and of course, your stock price goes down with your depletion. We have chosen the exploration route because the bang for the buck is much bigger. The risk is higher, but one good one pays for a whole lot of bad ones. For instance, the target we're drilling in Austria has the possibility of being 500 billion cubic feet of natural gas. And if we really get lucky, it could be 1 trillion cubic feet. Well, the total well cost to check that out, you know, to prove that it's there, is less than 4 million euros. Well, you know, that's a no-brainer. I mean, when you've got that kind of, you know, roll of the dice, you know, it's a winner every time. So the idea is that in going for exploration assets, the results should be and will be much higher than just going out and trying to buy production with some upside. This has been our focus. It's not that we aren't looking for production to buy, but that production has to have some pretty significant upside for us to be interested. And we're looking all over Europe. I mean, it's not just Germany and Austria where we're focused. You know, we're looking as far west as Spain, as far east as Azerbaijan. We're looking at projects in North Africa and even up into the North Sea. The mantra is, you know, energy to Europe. If there's a way to bring that energy into Europe, we're interested in developing the asset.
Hey, you know, one thing that comes to mind as we're having this conversation for me as a guy who, first of all, I don't believe in the idea of fossil fuels. I don't believe that oil comes from dead dinosaurs. Okay, we can talk about abiotic oil too, if you'd like. I don't even think natural gas should be considered a fossil fuel. It's a misnomer. That's not even the right language for what natural gas is. Is it not the cleanest burning source of energy we have?
Yeah, it's the cleanest burning source of energy that we have. It has the lowest carbon emissions of all of them. In some cases, there's an awful lot of methane, which is generated through bacterial decomposition of organic materials, which of course makes it green. because the idea is you've got an actual living plant that pulled carbon out of the environment to you know, build its leaves and stems and whatnot. And the bacteria is just liberating that back, you know, as methane into the environment. If you burn that, it should be carbon zero. There's a college which claims it's now carbon zero because they burn wood chips in order to heat their buildings and, you know, power their local university. The other type of natural gas, of course, is thermogenic, and that's taking paleocarbon, you know, older carbon, and breaking that down into methane or heavier gassy hydrocarbons. But it really doesn't matter because natural gas, hands down, is the cleanest burning fuel. And the European Union has recognized this and declared natural gas a green renewable resource. And in doing that, they have declared natural gas a green fuel, which of course opens up for a lot of investments to keep the investors' carbon footprint or carbon score, I guess what they call it, lower than what it would be if they invested in oil and gas exploration. So, you know, Europe has recognized that natural gas is the transition fuel which will get us through to the future of renewables and green, assuming that's ever possible.
Well, that's interesting then to know that to the folks in Europe, at least the folks in charge, they're starting to realize that natural gas is the answer to what their problems are. It's the answer to what ails them. And it will be the transition fuel to try to get to their great reset zero emissions dream in 2050. But I don't think they're going to get there because, again, we know wind and solar doesn't cut it. It's not even close.
No, it just hasn't. And it's like I said, you could throw solar panels out everywhere. But the idea is that, you know, when the sun doesn't shine, you don't produce power. When the wind doesn't blow, you don't produce power. So you've got to be able to store that energy that you generate during the day when the sun shines and the wind blows. And they just don't have the technology to do that right now. They just can't store it in the volumes that we need to support our society.
Let's talk a little bit about the team. I know that, perhaps the main reason you wanted to join the company and come out of retirement is because of Ford Nicholson and his pedigree. The man seems to turn companies like this one into assets that can be sold for $2.5 billion. He's done it several times before. Is that the main draw for you to this company? And what do you see for the future of this company? I mean, if you're a gambling man, is Ford going to hit another home run?
Well, you know, MCF management team is really a who's who of both energy and mineral development projects. And they've got, like you said, a strong history of success. The big reason why I came out of retirement, which I was enjoying, is the fact that there was a crisis going on in Europe. And the significance for me was that this team has not only done it before, but they have the assets and the will to make it happen. In other words, we aren't just going to die on the vine. The idea is that, you know, we are continuing. We have continual support from management. They continue to support the share price. They participated in all of the financing rounds. They will participate in the future rounds, I'm sure. I know I have. And, you know, we believe in what we're doing. Now, the technical team, which I put together, are basically from my 40 years experience in the industry. I explored Europe for over 10 years, so I not only knew the companies that were active there and an awful lot about the geology and the projects, but I knew the best people. And I was able to, through luck, really, because they were available, to capture those people into a technical team, which is one of the best in the world, really. We've got not just operational expertise, but very complex structural geology expertise. And we also have a remote sensing machine learning expert who is probably one of the best in the world in the fact that she was the one who actually helped develop and beta test the current available programs, machine learning programs, that look at the remote sensing data and detect those subtle differences that we can't see with our normal eye. you know, 3D seismic has been a true revolution in our industry because we can actually visualize the geologic structures below the ground and sometimes visually see indicators of oil and gas in the data. Well, you know, for instance, the program which our expert uses breaks the three-dimensional seismic information into 50 different neurons. You know, these are characteristics of the data that we can't see with our eye. We cannot visualize these things. So once you've calibrated the data to the occurrence of oil and gas, in other words, what neurons are indicative of the presence of oil and gas, you can run that combination of neurons through the data set looking for them. And in this case, our expert has an 80% success rate or better in drilling in places that we never would have drilled with our eye. So the idea is that we are going to find and exploit resources that other people just haven't been able to see before. And I'm very excited about this. A number of our concessions are in areas that have extensive 3D data sets, and we're running those through the process right now. And we're very excited about this.
Yeah, and I want to let the audience know, too, that the stock has been under some pressure over the past 6 months, which has created an opportunity. Actually, the stock right now is trading around the price of a recent offering. So if folks were to take a flyer on the stock right now, they're getting it at the same price insiders paid not that long ago. I just wanted to mention that. But what are one of the most top of mind things that you're focusing on right now that you think will bring shareholder value in the future?
Well, we've selected two of the best projects out of the 20 that we reviewed. We're carrying forward with these projects. We're going to be drilling them this year, like I said. We've got additional concession applications, which will, of course, give us more opportunities in the future, which we're going to be drilling. We're looking at drilling two wells this year, at least two wells next year, and you know, ramping up a much, much bigger program as 2024 accelerates. You know, this need for energy is not going to go away, as you pointed out. You know, wind and solar will contribute more, but until they get some sort of revolutionary storage technology to store, you know, the electrical energy, let's face it, on-demand systems are going to be the ones that people rely on to heat their homes and keep industry and petrochemicals active. You know, and these are the things which increase the quality of all of our lives. So I'm very excited about our opportunities. We continue to explore for more. And the nice part is we've got the backing to actually make all this happen. It's a great situation to be in.
All right. Well, as we round out the conversation and folks can take a flyer here, do your own due diligence, guys, before making any investment decision. But look, without energy, we all die. So it's gratifying to hear that maybe not the whole world is willing to take the suicide plunge that Bill Gates would like us to take. And I'd add to that the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. In your view, what will this company look like in the next 5 years under your leadership?
Well, we're going to have a well-established production base. We're going to have a very, very strong technical team, which I'm going to build on and add to. And we're going to very significantly increase our presence, not just in Europe, but in the surrounding countries as well, as you know, we expand the company and develop out for additional opportunities. It's like I said, our focus is Eurocentric at the moment, but in 5 years, I would imagine we'll be well beyond that.
All right. Well, very good. I think, you know what, it would be fun to round out the conversation with the truth. Let's come full circle here. And I'll play this soundbite from Senator Kennedy, really drilling into this guy from the U.S. Department of Energy about Joe Biden's Green New Deal, the Great Reset. What would it really cost, guys, to do away with all of our affordable forms of energy in the name of saving the planet from what, maybe 1 degree of a temperature rise over the next 200 years? Listen to this.
Yeah, but if you could answer my question, if we spend $50 trillion to become carbon neutral in the United States of America by 2050, you're the Deputy Secretary of Energy, Give me your estimate of how much that is going to reduce world temperatures.
So first of all, it's a net cost. It's what benefits we're having from getting our act together and reducing all of those climate benefits.
Let me ask again. Maybe I'm not being clear. If we spent $50 trillion to become carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States of America, how much is that going to reduce world temperatures?
This is a global problem. So we need to reduce our emissions and we need to do everything we can.
How much, if we do our part, is it going to reduce world temperatures?
So we're 13% of global emissions.
You don't know, do you? You don't know, do you?
You can do the math. We need to.
You don't know, do you, Mr. Secretary?
You don't know, do you? They don't know. See, that's the thing that kills me, Mr. Hill. They don't know. And yet they drink the Bill Gates Kool-Aid. And innovating to zero by 2050, that's going to mean a lot of dead people. That's what it is. It's a depopulation plan, in my view. And we need to reject it any way possible. We have to stand against this. It's anti-human to be anti-energy.
And it's anti-everything, actually. It's anti-industry. It's anti-jobs. You say it's anti-human. That's exactly what it is. You know, you say, you know, reducing population, it's going to reduce population through starvation, through the fact that people are going to be depressed because they don't have work. It's going to be horrible if it actually comes to pass.
All right, guys, as we round out the conversation, I'll give you the tickers one more time. You can do your own due diligence on MCF Energy Limited. You can find it over at the TSXV as MCF and over the counter in the States as MCFNF. Our guest is Ben, the president and CEO of MCF Energy Limited, James Hill. James, I've enjoyed the conversation. I do appreciate you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much. It's been an enlightening conversation.
Well, God bless you, man. I think anybody providing energy to those in need in this world is doing God's work because, again, the enemies of humanity, they don't want us to have access to affordable forms of energy, thus the attack on our energy supplies, even by our own puppet president, Joseph Robinette Biden. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I will leave the links below. Do your own due diligence, and may God bless you and your family. For real news every single day, guys, visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. Bye-bye.
They are doing away with every one of God's creations. This brings us always back to the same issue.
Spiritual battle.
It's the battle of souls. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right.